This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 3rd of January, 1959. The title of this lecture is The Future of Scientology. This tape is 57 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions. Please note, this tape has periodic sound distortions, as did the original master recording.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We always start these congresses with the history of Scientology from the beginning up till now, and end the congresses with the future of Scientology from the Congress forward. Well, this time we're going to invert. I'm going to talk to you about the future of Scientology right now. Meantime, I want to say hello. That's better. I'm glad you're here. We turned on a nice day for you. Took a lot of doing. The Weather Bureau down here is also Republican. And we have been scrambling around, making ready, and you gratify me very much by being here. I hope there's some small scrap of something that I possibly might tell you that possibly might be of some slight use someplace, somewhere. This is a data congress. This is strictly a data congress. There's so much data has piled up that hasn't been mentioned. It'll probably take the whole Congress just to catch up on the notebook. But unfortunately, I left my notebook at home. And therefore, it's very difficult to know where to begin. So let's just start, shall we? Okay, start of Congress. You know, a lot of us still have the idea that we really had it made in old Dianetic days. We really had an excitement going. We had tremendous numbers of people interested. We had everything all wrapped up. Enthusiasm. Let me let you in on something. There are almost three times as many people today interested in Scientology as there were in Dianetics 1950. It's pretty good, huh? And there are more continents interested. Many more continents interested. I think only the continent of New York was interested in 50 and the continent of Los Angeles. These two isolated continents are separated by the ocean of the Middle West. But today, you see a very stable growth. And that has been my only goal here for years, is to get a show on the road that would stay on the road and wouldn't go by fits and starts and leaps and collapses and so forth. You see various things here today. Parallel with the science itself, we see almost science all by itself, the science of organization. And you know it's taken years to find out how to run a Scientology organization. Just years. And one of these days, we'll have the science of running a group, too. We want lots of groups now. It's the best way to progress. But trying to hold central organizations together, establish the pattern of what it's all about, how it goes, and so forth, has been a bit of a job. It sat right there. Right there. The number of pieces of paper, a number of items which pass over my desk in any given week. Haven't had a recap lately, but it was 5,000 pieces several months ago. A week. Now, that's just boiled down administration. That's already been compressed, enormously compressed. And today I have many more than one desk. As a matter of fact, I have three major desks and two or three minor desks. And very shortly we'll have several more. Now you say, what are you doing with all these desks? Well, I'd gladly put them side by side, except they're on different continents. Scientology's gone worldwide with a bang. And the complex problem of handling Scientology has taken all the know-how that I could dream up and anybody else could furnish just to keep the show on the road and keep things squared around. Now, you sit back somewhere. You don't hear from a central organization. You don't see entirely what's going on. And if your own immediate neighborhood isn't tremendously active, something like that, you don't see this thing mushrooming the way it is. But it is mushrooming. Every time I turn around, I'm looking at a new organization somewhere in the world which is just becoming solvent, which is just holding its own, which is trying to forge ahead and get over the hump. Now, the thing that holds down Scientology is what I am talking about right now. Administration. Isn't that weird? Here we're talking about a science. But how to disseminate it and how to get it out, how to give it to people, has caused a huge administrative problem. Enormous. And I'd like to announce to you at this Congress that that problem is more or less whipped. We can do it. And it's only been in the last few months that I have known that it was possible to do it. What would happen? What would happen if we did inherit this planet? Well, I sure wouldn't want to live under that government the way it's been. What would happen if we did take over all major mental activities on Earth? What would happen administratively? What would happen in terms of central organizations and quarters? Where would you get orders from? Who would you issue orders to? Where would it go? How would it go? Wow. And we didn't have that problem whipped. You know what you'd do? You'd do what I almost have done several times in the last several years. That was quit. Just say, it's just too much. It's just too much. And without this administrative problem whipped, and without knowing the communication lines of Scientology, without knowing where they belong and where they're going and what they amount to, everybody in central organizations and in the field has a tendency to say, let's keep it small. Let's keep it down to the number of details which I can remember in any given afternoon. Now, what you're looking at now is the cracked back of the administrative problem. You say, that's an awful thing to talk to a Congress about, administration. Everybody in America knows what administration is. Administration is something that does nothing. That's right. What is a government? A government is an administration. What is an administration? An administration is something that puts everything on a paper chain so that nobody's responsible. Look, if this is the definition of administration, if this is the definition of how you communicate in this society, do you think anybody's been communicating? We've had to turn around and invent a whole subject called communication. A whole subject, administrative communication. and in a world where it had died a very unnatural death. This was very difficult to do. How do you keep the particles moving? How do you keep the data coming and going? How do you keep from overloading and wrecking everybody in the organization? How do you keep from confusing you with lack of material, lack of magazines, lack of new data? You order a book and it doesn't arrive. Take out a membership, you never even get a card. Don't you think that confuses you? And now you know what I'm talking about when I say this was a problem that had to be whipped. The subject of Scientology was limited by two things. One, easily demonstrable results, which were accomplishable in a finite number of hours on a majority of cases. And the other one was this thing I'm talking about, which is administration. And that was all on my back, and all you've really seen of it is the inability to receive, the inability to communicate. Look, you can't expect one man to communicate all the administrative details that have to do with organizations which have a net worth at the present moment of about $15 million throughout the world. You can't expect a man to do that. And yet I've done it for years. Done that and researched. So I have had several things to do. Now, I'm not asking for your sympathy, so don't give it to me. But I am telling you that these two things, and what I have to announce to you at this Congress, is that these two things, one that you know all about, that is perfectly visible, that is to say, you know about auditing, you know about clearing people, you want to clear a majority of people, you hope those technologies and techniques arrive and are polished off and can be taught and you can use them. This you know all about. Your own case, where does it stand, so forth. How about this other thing? Don't get too big because we can't administer it. How about that one, huh? And yet, you know, that's been the problem with the growth of Scientology. We've been able to get results for years. We have been able to do more for Homo sapiens for years than anything else has ever done for it. Well, even under that, why didn't we grow? It was a matter of administration. Here and there, we had people who were so overworked that just one more student would have been far too many. Just one more load of books that had to be handled. Yet these people have coped somehow, some way, and right here at this Congress I salute them. They have coped, and I want to thank them. Now, Scientology, in going worldwide, had to take on some form of structure. There had to be something done about its basic structure. What could be done about its basic structure so that it could be administered? And out of this have grown two ideas. Sort of natural, these have grown up. I've coaxed them into place, but they have rather naturally grown up. One is the fact that evidently I have to have an office wherever a central organization exists on a continent. Public doesn't settle for less. All right, if that is the case, why, so be it. I'll have an office every place there's a central organization. And the other thing is in spite of the fact that they curse at it and swear at it and have difficulties with it and so forth, there must be a central organization, at least one, on every continent on Earth. Why? Just to keep things stable. Boy, if the central organization of America were to disappear, you would see a hole. You would see an awful hole. You would say, good heavens, how did all this work descend on me? I didn't know this. Well, just somebody let go of some administrative lines, that's all, somewhere. And immediately, wherever you're sitting down, people start walking in and saying, where's some more material? You'd say, well, I'll tell you all about it. No, we want something mailed to us, you know? But we want to receive something. Well, before you would have said, well, I think I'll write Ron in the central organization. Now it would be up to you to dream it up, write it up, mail it, register it, keep lists of names. Here we go, see? Case so-and-so needs some service someplace. Some HCA in your area would be coming around to see you if you had a higher degree and saying, well, now, will you do this, that, and the other thing for me? You get how this would go. And every man would be wearing every hat which is now worn by a central organization, and it just wouldn't work that way. We'd all go around the bend. There has to be a central organization on every continent, and I have to have an office on every continent. So that's the way it is. Central organizations are usually called the HASI, or the FC in the United States. And my office is called HCO. And HCO is about the busiest, most orderly, rigorously organized thing that you ever had anything to do with. You probably have heard of HCO very vaguely. It means Hubbard Communications Office. And that's my office. And it now has been so regularized and so squared around that this traffic can be handled. We can grow. We can grow. And HCO does not run a central organization. It keeps it advised and supplied with materials and data. If you recently have received any new information on Scientology in any publication, it came to you because of the efficiency of HCO. I wrote the thing. HCO published it in a magazine bulletin, or a PAB, or an HCO bulletin. It went out. You got it. That was the way it was. That it worked or didn't work was more or less dependent upon me. But HCO carried the administrative line. You got the information. All right. With this so rigorously worked out, and believe me, the head of General Motors, if he were ever to turn up in this perimeter and start studying the basic organization of Scientology, he would say, what? No kidding. Tell me more. Because he doesn't know what he's doing. That's a fact. He doesn't. We know that. We know that. He would look with the most wonderful fascination at what we were doing organizationally. It doesn't look like much, but the amount of traffic handled by a central organization or an HCO office attests the fact that it works. And I'm here to tell you that the biggest block and the biggest thing we had to fight here on Earth was its own inertia and inability on simply mimeoing something and mailing it out. Banking a little money so somebody can be paid so he can buy some food and pay the rent. These were the limiting factors, not research and development. I can tell you that you haven't got a government on Earth today. I say that's a very unqualified statement, isn't it? Well, I'll repeat it. You haven't got a government on Earth today. Definition. Government is something that brings order. That's all it is. And if it doesn't bring order, it isn't a government. It's a revolution. Or a pork barrel, or a swamp. But it's not a government. If there's any crime in the country at all, you haven't got a government. Isn't that a wild statement? And yet, you know, in Central Europe, in the past hundreds of years, of which I have a very clear recollection, there was lots of order. Ah, yeah. Crazy men like Charles V and so forth came up and said they were emperor, and somebody else said he was emperor. Not too many people paid attention to them.
and the actual government of the land got things patted back together again as soon as the armies moved on. Fortunately, at that time, government did not have the ability to destroy a whole continent at a whoop. It's unfortunate that that can exist today. But there was government. There has been government. There have been men of good intention, men of good skill, men who were dedicated to their activities on earth, who have brought order, not law and order, order to an area so that people could produce, merchants could flourish, trade could move. And as was once said about a great government that established itself many hundreds of years ago, a virgin with a bag of gold could have walked from one corner of the area to the other without anybody molesting her, even vaguely. That's government. That's a government. Now, we come into this in Scientology with a new understanding of something. We have a brand new understanding of something. You don't audit confusion with confusion. And this is why we have arrived at a new state of organization. And the first data I have to give you in this data congress is just this. The confusions aren't, and order is. All a confusion is a not-isness of order. So all confusions are a not-isness. All confusions are a not-isness. They aren't necessary. They don't have to be audited. They can be straightened out. And confusions have a very finite life. Order straightens out confusion and has an infinite life. This is something new. You say, well, this preclear is all confused. He's all confused. Here he is. Now let's fix him up and let's run out this. Now we audit this confusion and hundreds of hours later we're still going bah. If you run destructive processes, that is the process destruction, if you head straight up against disorder, you can run disorder for a very short time and achieve a little bit of a result. But there's no such thing as a tolerance of disorder. That's news, isn't it? There's no such thing as a tolerance of disorder. This is very important to you personally. Because you've been told consistently and continually that you'll have to learn to live with disorder. Children going through the house. And you say, and you are told, you just have to learn to live with it. That's the way it is. You'll just have to learn to tolerate confusion. What's the matter with you? Are you nervous? Here's this big parade of condemnation humped on you because you refuse to tolerate disorder. And people would love you to believe that they could just bring you to the point where you could tolerate disorder totally, you would be clear. It's a different kind of clear, however. It's called a smear clear. You know, oddly enough, to tell you that this is news, it's pretty strange. I don't think there's a person here who doesn't have a ghostly suspicion lurking somewhere that they ought to be able to tolerate more random motion. Somehow or another, if they could just grit their teeth a little harder, they'd be able to tolerate random motion a little better. And that the end goal of what they're doing is to tolerate random motion or confusion or disorder. And you have friends who tell you, why are you worried about world today and your fellow man? You should just learn to live with it, you know? be like me. You ever had that gag pulled on you? You have no business being interested in anything which brings more happiness or interest or whatever. You have no responsibility for your fellows. And if you were just natural, and if you weren't as crazy as you are, or perhaps neurotic, why, you'd be able to tolerate all this stuff and it wouldn't worry you. And the thing to do is just to sit down and tolerate it all. Well, the Nazis had a similar trick. They used to take out a squad of prisoners and have them dig their graves, and then they'd put them in their own graves. See? Same trick. Same trick. All people are telling you is leave confusion alone. Let it be confused. Bring no order to anything, anyplace. Just be as random, as spinny, as confused, and as stupid as they are. I'll tell you, it's uncomfortable, to say the least. Very uncomfortable. Now, the only thing that a Thetan can do that is on the upside of the scale is bring order. That's the best and only thing he can do. He doesn't bring disorder until he is somebody else to himself. And he has the idea that somebody else that he is being brings disorder, and he dramatizes this other person. He's got a government. Now, you think this is just being a little strong. Well, it's not being strong. Not being strong at all. The best thing a Thetan does is to bring order. And as he goes downscale, he believes he is less and less able to bring order to things. And when he can do nothing at all, everything he does results in a disorder. And this saddens him a great deal. And that is how a Thetan goes out the bottom. It's just as easy as that. He makes a postulate stick on the upper scale, and it'll be an orderly postulate. I didn't say sensible. Merely orderly. He's sure it's for the best. And after a while, somebody proves to him his postulates can't stick that way anymore, and that there was some more confusion there, and it was all very upsetting. And so what's he do? Well, he makes a postulate a little nearer that he knows can stick, and he neglects that outer area of confusion. He lets that exist. He says, well, I'll just bring order just this little area right here, finally. Finally says, well, I can at least sneeze in an orderly fashion. I sneeze, one, two, bing. It's about the best he can do. Now, he can go round the bend and up the spout and get to a point where he's obsessed with order. But if you will notice, a person who is obsessed with order and who is totally batty on the subject of order, he just goes on planning order. He never brings any place, see? He just makes orderly plans, 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 you know, like German generals. Didn't matter what was happening, they still made orderly plans. Being rolled up on every front, I bet you in the last 24 hours there was a general staff there making orderly plans for the recovery of Italy. But they weren't doing anything with them. So therefore it takes not just the ability to conceive order, but the ability to bring order in order to make anything happen. Any place.
All right, if Phaeton puts up a mock-up. Basically, it was an orderly mock-up. It was a perfectly orderly mock-up. Somehow or another, he consented to have it, you know, fly apart a little bit. He wanted some motion in the thing. He agreed with somebody who said it could have more order in it. Various other deteriorating things occurred, but his impulse all the way down the line was to bring more order. Believe me, this is true. It sounds clumsy, but this happens to come out of the basic workability of new techniques. His idea that he must do something in a disorderly area when he knows very well he can't is what locks him up in traps, the bank, everything else. Well, then how about a subject which is capable of bringing a great deal of order to men's minds? What about a subject that can wipe out neurosis and criminality and do other things? Can this subject go any place if it itself does not have order within itself, not just as a subject, but as an administrative function? No, it would interbulate. It would interbulate badly. So in this subject of bringing order to things, we now have to look at something new. Not only is the subject orderly and workable, but can it be delivered, and can it continue to handle spheres of disorder into which it is injecting order? And we've arrived at that stage. It isn't that we are overwhelmingly large. It isn't that we are politically powerful. It's just as the people say, we've got too much on our plate. You look around you, look at all the people you would like to audit. Just count them off in your own environment. There's this one and this one and this one and this one. Gee, you'd love to audit all those people. Well, how do you do it? Yes, you can sit down and audit somebody. But how do you arrange things, one, so that you can sit down and audit at least one person? Because that requires some arrangement, too. You got to have some means of blocking off the phone or holding other things in order to work with this one person. Well, as we look this over, we see that it would be difficult just to audit one all the way through over a period of weeks or even months. Well, how do you make it possible to audit all of these people we just counted up? How about all those people? Well, if we're ever going to get the job done, we have to have an adequacy of technology and administration so that we can audit all those people. You see, it's one of these self-visible things. It's one of these things that must exist. And do you know that here and there auditors have quit because they couldn't audit all those people or all the people they thought they should audit? They looked at the tremendous burden of work they had to do and they said, well, I don't know what good it does just to clear up one guy. Look at all the things we'll have to do. Apathy. And do the same thing in an organization. All kinds of rules and organizational policies and so forth have grown up. And one of them is, if you want to get somebody off staff, just overburden him. He'll blow eventually. He'll leave staff. Just keep giving him job after job after job. And then really don't let him do any of them. You get rid of him quick. Now, how do you go about making a zone of order in which you can get your job done? How do I make sense? How do you make a zone of order in your own environment adequate so that you can go about the job of bringing order to people? Now, if you had a very orderly society, this would really not be very necessary. You wouldn't be being interfered with all the time. You wouldn't be called upon continually to wear some other hats that you have no business wearing. Yet look at the hats we wear in this society to go on and be a citizen. Look at the hats we wear. Ooh. I was counting up the number of hats that I wore that should be worn by local government, and they just started to mount way up in the stars. Accounting. You'd think the government had no accounting department at all. Every business, every person has to sit down and do their lousy accounting for them. Have you noticed that? Well, you're wearing a government hat. That's not your hat. That's a hat worn by the tax collector. If he can't wear the hat and audit up how much you made or didn't make, and if he can't figure out how to take the money away from you, that's his hard luck. Hey. Now, that's what I call wearing a government hat. Not too long ago, a girl walked out of the building, got into a taxi cab and was immediately seized by a couple of men, managed to struggle and get away from them, and got back to the sidewalk again. And we knew by past experience that there was no business whatsoever. There was no reason to call police. They'd come in and investigate the girl who was seized and investigate us and investigate everybody, except go find those two guys that were in the taxi cab. See? That's the thing they do. If you read in the papers, you find out this is what they do. They investigate the person who was the victim. They can't confront anybody but victims. So it actually was then up to us, if you please. It was up to us to try to track these people down. I was wearing a cop hat for a short time. Fortunately, these fellows only went down the street a few blocks and ran into a dead man more or less washed themselves up. But here's hats, you see. Now, these are the hats which societies have long since put into the hands of what they called at one time government. And government was supposed to keep enough order in the society so that you could get your job done. And that's how come you had a government. That's why you consented to one in the first place. You said, well, the police can keep down crime. And the army can keep out foreign aggression. And the courts and so on can settle disputes amongst people and make contracts enforceable. And money can be standardized so there will be credits. So that people could go along and do their job and produce what they were supposed to produce and stay in the activities they were supposed to be in. And what do you find the government doing today? Ooh. Oh, no. I mean, it's just, wow. Look it over. You don't believe me? The primary activity internally of this government in the past while has been to, not to settle, but to continue riots and commotion on the subject of race prejudice. This could be handled. You don't have to be prejudiced either way. A government's not supposed to be prejudiced. It's supposed to keep order. And if there's any disorder there at all, shows that somebody wasn't on the road and wasn't doing his job over many, many years. Why are they so excited all of a sudden? These evils have existed for a very, very long time. Why didn't they do something decades ago about this? They want data on the subject of the colored race and its difficulties. Why, good heavens, I was writing articles sympathetic to the colored people 25, 30 years ago. Well,
Did they just find out that part of their population was colored? Did they just find this out? And that they now have commotion and confusion about it just says they're inept. Just ineptitude is all that it demonstrates. It means that they themselves have lost the power to bring order and are beginning to bring confusion. Well, that's an awful heavy condemnation to lay at the hands of anything. But if there was anything there to lay a condemnation in the lap of, why, so be it. Look, you're supposed to be able to produce or do your job in an orderly society. We have a government today which is berserk on the subject of preventing production. All it can think of is chop the production, chop the production, chop the production, one way or the other. It's sort of, you get so after a while you feel like saying, get out of our hair! Beat it! Graham! Go pick potatoes or do something useful. But get your lousy forms out of my desk. That's about the way it is. And when we get something robbed out of the place, or if crime jumps up in the vicinity and so forth, get somebody down here that'll handle it. Not somebody down here who'll keep the whole place upset for 3 or 4 days, questioning all the people who have been robbed. You get the idea. Not, you don't want a government that keeps everybody worried because they have weapons of such magnitude they could wipe us all out. What kind of order is this? It isn't order. Now, I am not just damning and condemning a government. If it were a government, I wouldn't damn it or condemn it. All I'm doing is saying, this is the basic atmosphere in which we have tried to operate. Basically, it is government by prejudice, not government by law. Immediately that we try to help our fellow man, what do we get?
No, oh, that's all being done over there at Squirrel University and St. Elizabeth's, and everybody's got the situation well in hand, and the increasing insanity level is going up, very satisfactorily. We're all happy about it. Yes, yes. Used to be only 1 in 30, and now we've got it to 1 in 20. Shortly we'll have it to 1 in 15 inside institutions. And you people better not do anything about it. Because, you know, you're liable to bring some order there, and that's not permitted. And we haven't been deterred. Not very long. We are bringing order to this disorder. But unfortunately, this is one of the disorders that offers itself up as something to bring order to. Well, I'll tell you, don't fall for it. Because one day you'd inherit the government of earth. And who wants it? Government is a special skill. People knew how to do it once. Once upon a time, people were trained to it. A special skill requires a great deal of time. And its whole function is to bring enough order in an environment so somebody can work. So somebody can get his job done. That's its function. That's the only excuse government has for being. It's the only excuse government has for taxing, for maintaining anything, for paying itself salaries or anything else. If they can give you an environment, peaceful, secure, in which you can work, that's about the only thing anybody ever asks of a government. That's a good government. You don't see much of them. Things are pretty calm. Some guy goes down and shoots up his fellow citizen. Why, they take him out of the run-up and do something effective with him. Now, actually, in the United States, it has been very difficult for 8 years, almost 9, handling Dianetics and Scientology and its organizations, in the absence of an orderly environment. You wonder how this affects us. Well, it affects us in numerous ways and has retarded us enormously. Because there wasn't a native good order to work in. In other words, you didn't have people on every hand who were snapping in and helping you with these various administrative functions. I got a hold of one of the most famous accountants the other day, one of the most famous accounting firms in the United States, asked them to take over the worldwide accounting of HCO. They wound up by explaining to me that accounting didn't do anything for anybody anyway. And if we would do all the accounting, why, they would be happy to look at it now and then. That's rather typical of the modern businessman. He's getting into total apathy with this sort of thing. How can he cope with it? He says he can't cope with it. Well, if we'd ever made the fatal postulate that we couldn't cope with governments, that we couldn't cope with egocentric societies which were bound and determined that nobody would ever get a show on the road in the field of the human mind, If we had decided that we couldn't handle this and we couldn't handle that, or we didn't belong here, we didn't belong there, we'd never gotten anything done. Never. Here we have a wonderful and excellent opportunity. At this time and at this place, we can bring an increased freedom to man. We can settle a great many of his difficulties. If we persevere, and if we now continue to create an environment sufficiently orderly for us to get our job done, that's what's necessary. Now, your job, and doing your job, getting in groups of people, talking to individuals, or talking to groups, processing individuals or processing groups, would need a certain amount of security in your environment, one way or the other. Well, we're trying to solve that security. We're trying to bring it about. But we are doing a job very necessary to what we are doing. And you've heard me swear at and be impatient with the government and the society in general and how knuckleheaded it is and how hard to move. You have heard me a time or two say something like that. Well, that's been basically just my impatience at having to do so many other jobs than just do our job. We've been handed so many jobs all at once, overpowering. But at no time have I ever said, can't handle it, can't be done, might as well quit. I went so far one day in London after about my fifth conference in the day, I actually had some research work I was trying to do, had an ACC I was trying to help run, and so on. And after about the fifth conference that day on stuff that didn't have anything to do with Scientology, I did confess that I didn't think God himself could hold my post. That's as close as I ever came to quitting. It just seemed like I was trying to arrive at a certain spot up the line here. And every time I started in the direction of that spot, the disorders of a sick society just dumped themselves on the trail in front of me. Now, I'd have to get a shovel, see? And I'd shovel all this stuff out of the road and so on, and I'd try to advance another few feet toward this immediate goal, and somebody'd back up a truck and... just too much, you know. Well, our method of solution of this has not been the standard method of solution which has brought about what we now laughingly call government. Their solution was to say, we can't do anything about it, so why try? Let's just do something and pretend to be busy and go play golf. We can't really do anything. At this instant, we have an island bursting in flames 90 miles from our front door. You think a government would have permitted that much disorder? No. too much American property involved, too many American citizens involved. They would have settled this one way or the other a long time ago because it's a potential zone of disorder. Not that the government of that small island was right, or that the rebels were right, or that anything else was right. What is a government doing standing around while somebody is blowing up houses and so forth, see? A government shouldn't be just standing around doing nothing. You get the philosophy of the thing. A government sees an area of disorder, which can be very disruptive to its own citizenry, and it says, well, we'll put the thing straight. And they do, long before it becomes an emergency. But a bad government waits until it's already in disorder and then throws more disorder into it. See that? A bad government waits until war is inevitable and then makes it as horrible as possible. There's only one thing about this government that is good here in the United States. Just one thing that is real good. It's too much in apathy to allow otherwise than freedom of speech. Now, here we have a world. We're trying to get a job done. We're trying to bring more order. We're trying to make man a bit happier. We're trying to solve some of the problems that have long since overwhelmed him. And our method is not to say, well, it's too big a job. We can't do anything about it. No, our answer is to bring a superior, very superior area or type of order into our own concerns and affairs. We merely have to bring into being a greater sense of order and existence of order in our own perimeter than anybody ever had a right to expect of us. And the answer's been then that it wasn't that our own house wasn't in order. It was pretty well in order by standards of other times, but it wasn't enough in order or well enough in order to really get the job done at this time in this place. So our answer is, let's bring a superior order to our own affairs. Let's bring the organizations of Dianetics and Scientology into such a state of order as to be totally impervious to disorder. And that is the job on which I'm embarked. Because the other thing is wrapped up, let me tell you, it's wrapped up. And that is the technology of how do we clear an individual and make him impervious to disorder. See, that's taped. Well, these two things are going along at the same time. You don't see this administrative one. You don't see very much of it. You don't see the effort to bring order in a wider perimeter of the world. This you don't observe but too much. But believe me, we're in there kicking. We're in there patting the postulates in place everywhere we can. You occasionally see a little reflection of it in the newspapers. We don't work deviously. We simply work 3 feet back of the society's head. And just as very few bodies have noticed their thetans, so they very seldom notice us. Now, we're trying in every way we can to create an environment in which we can get our job done. Well, naturally, if we do our job, we've got an environment in which we can do our job done, but our job's already done. You get the idea? So we're just it's hardest at the bottom up. You know, we always start a case at the difficult state of the case. Did you know that? Huh? We always start a case at its most difficult level. That isn't the way it should be. It should get difficult halfway through and then finish off and become easy. Well, similarly, we're starting in a difficultly disorderly society, relatively disorderly, a society in general. Very little beingness is granted in this society. Very little respect for knowledge or information that you may hold. Everybody's as bright as you are. Oh, yeah? You get the idea. But you're going up against the line where you yourself don't have adequate beingness to handle your immediate environment. You ever try to straighten out your pants? You know what I mean. You see, you might be totally capable of straightening out your pants, but lack of beingness makes it almost impossible. Well, then how good do you have to be to straighten out your pants? How good would you have to be as a Scientologist to straighten out your pants? Well, that's just about how good you've got to be as a Scientologist, technically and administratively, to straighten out the society and environment today that you call a world. It's pretty big, huh? But it's not impossible. And that's the first thing I want to tell you in this Congress. That we've got the show on the road. We've got the show on the road in a big way, in lots of places. It's making progress. It's bigger than it ever was before. It's more effective than it ever was before. We've got the know-how to do it. And we also know that by bringing a little bit of order into the environment, superior to the order being brought into the environment, we can create an environment in which we can work. And we can get the job done. We merely have to be a little bit better than we've been. We merely have to get our personal concerns a little bit more in order. Our own social relationships a little bit better arranged. Our understandings with our fellow man, our fellow Scientologist, a little more concrete, a little better understood. Clean up these little zones of confusion, bring order to them, and then, consecutively and continuously, bring wider and wider order to your environment. And we've got it made, and man will have a new world. Thank you.